Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
We've all seen it in our imaginations, haven't we? Flying cars soaring above gridlock, a real staple of futuristic visions. For so long, it's felt like something, you know, confined to the pages of science fiction.
It really has. Yeah, the whole idea of just hopping in your car and flying off, it's been this, like, long-held fascination. But the practical hurdles always seemed, well, huge. Insurmountable, really.
Well, maybe prepare for a bit of a shift in perspective today, because in this deep dive, we're not just indulging in those daydreams. We're actually looking at the very real progress that's happening right now, stuff that's bringing flying cars closer to, well, maybe not everyday life yet, but closer.
Definitely closer. And we'll also dig into how this whole concept is woven into the fabric of that upcoming release, Seven Colonies, the Commencement Day Massacres, and the pretty compelling world the author's building there.
Right. And material from the author's blog gives us some interesting clues about the role flying cars play in this Seven Colonies universe.
It does. The initial idea apparently was these autonomous flying vehicles, maybe powered by some kind of ambient energy, and they were meant to be pretty common transport for a group called the Evo. You find them in every colony.
Okay, hang on. Let's unpack that a bit. So the first thought was, like, widespread personal air travel for this group. Easy access.
Yeah, that seems to be the starting point. But, you know, as the author apparently thought it through, the sheer complexity of that kind of system started to become clear.
Complexity how? Like traffic jams in the sky?
Exactly, that kind of thing. Beyond just the massive logistical challenge of managing potentially millions of individual aircraft whizzing around, there were, you know, big safety questions, environmental impacts too.
Makes sense.
So the conclusion, at least as laid out in the blog material, was that these personal flying cars, they'd inevitably become more of a luxury item within that society.
A luxury. So not for everyone then. What makes them exclusive in the story?
The key thing seems to be airspace. The idea is, in a future where the skies are that busy, you'd absolutely need to designate, regulate, and probably charge for using that airspace.
Oh, okay. So it costs money to fly.
Right. And the costs associated with, you know, buying the right to fly, operating in this controlled airspace, it would just make personal flying cars way too expensive for your average Evo.
So they end up becoming a status symbol for the wealthy Evo.
Pretty much, yeah. Mirroring the kind of social hierarchies we see all the time, unfortunately.
It's quite a striking parallel to, well, some of the potential challenges we might actually face in our world, isn't it? If this technology takes off.
It really is. But what's kind of amazing, and something the author apparently discovered doing their own research, is that the tech itself isn't some distant dream. I mean, it's actively being developed right now. And in some places, it's actually becoming, well, tangible.
Okay, so let's pivot to that then. The real world, you mentioned things are moving.
Absolutely. The momentum is really, really building. And a lot of eyes are on China right now. They seem to be emerging as a real leader in this whole autonomous aerial vehicle space. Some genuinely significant stuff is happening there.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. Tell us about this company, Ehang. What have they been up to?
Right, Ehang. Well, they've hit a truly massive milestone. Back on April 7th, 2024, they got the world's first production certificate for mass manufacturing their EH216S aircraft.
Okay, slow down. EH216S, what is that exactly?
It's an EVTL, so an electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle. Basically, it takes off and lands like a helicopter, but it's electric. And this one is designed specifically to carry passengers, but crucially, without a pilot on board.
Pilotless passenger drone, you know, essentially.
You could call it that, yeah. And this certification they got from the SEAC, that's the Civil Aviation Administration of China, it's a really big deal because it covers their entire production process, the whole thing.
The entire process. What does that actually mean?
It means everything, like from where they get their raw materials, how they manage suppliers, their quality control, testing procedures, even their after-sales service plans. It's all been checked and approved.
Wow, that sounds incredibly thorough.
It is, and there's more. EHang, they partnered with another company, Hefei Aviation, and they also got certified to actually operate these things as civil human-carrying pilotless aerial vehicles for commercial services.
So they can actually sell rides, make money from this.
That's the green light, yes. They can run revenue-generating flights with passengers.
So what's the big picture for EHang? What are they aiming for?
Well, their CEO, Wazi Hu, put it pretty clearly. He said their ambition is to introduce safe and reliable pilotless eVTOL aircraft to the global market, thereby offering safe, autonomous, and eco-friendly air mobility services to everyone.
To everyone. That's quite a goal.
It is. Very forward-looking. You know.
And it's not just EHang making moves in China, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned another company, Autoflight.
That's right. Yeah. Autoflight. They also had a pretty significant breakthrough around March 2024. They got CX certification for their unmanned aircraft called the Carryall.
Carryall. Okay. Yeah. What's special about that one?
Well, the interesting thing here is it was the first approval for an eVTOL that weighs over 1 metric ton.
Over a ton. So that sounds different from the EHang passenger vehicle.
Yeah.
Bigger. Cargo, maybe?
Exactly. That seems to be the focus. While the EH216S is about moving people, the Carryall, being unmanned and heavier, is almost certainly aimed at logistics, you know, cargo transport.
Okay.
And their VP, Kellen Shi, sounded really positive about the support they're getting from the SEAC. He mentioned their commitment to bringing this new tech to reality quickly.
It really does sound like a major wave of progress over there.
Mm-hmm.
Is this showing up in, like, their economy? Is it a whole new sector?
Oh, absolutely. They talk about the low altitude economy in China, and it's booming. In 2023, just last year, its scale hit, get this, over 500 billion yuan.
Wow. 500 billion.
Yeah, 505.95 billion yuan, growing at nearly 34%. And the forecast, they're projecting it'll break a trillion yuan by 2026.
A trillion yuan. That's
right.
That's a serious chunk of the economy. What's driving that kind of growth?
It seems to be a mix of things. The
yeah.
technology is obviously getting more mature. There's growing demand for these kinds of services. And critically, the regulatory environment is really supportive.
Also?
Well, the Chinese government has actually shifted its official stance. They went from talking about active cultivation to now pushing for scale development of the industry. They're even fast-tracking a new law. The law on promoting low-altitude economy.
A specific law just for this.
Yeah, to sort out things like airspace access, who can enter the market, safety rules, all that crucial stuff.
Okay, so it's not just about delivering packages then. Are we really talking about these things becoming like regular taxis in cities for people?
That definitely seems to be the plan. Yeah, urban air mobility. Moving beyond just pilot projects to actual widespread use, air taxis could be a real thing quite soon in cities like Hefei and Shenzhen. Seriously, how soon?
Well, EHang, for instance, they said they plan to start using their vehicles for tourism flights first in Guangzhou and Hefei, maybe by the end of June this year, and then roll out air taxi services after that.
Tourism first, then taxis.
Right. And their vice president, He Tiangxing, he actually predicted that flying taxis will be a viable transport option in China within 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years. That sounds incredibly fast. What are the big tech breakthroughs making this actually possible now?
It's really a convergence, you know?
Yeah.
Several key things coming together. Big strides in unmanned systems, obviously. Electrification of flight, making it cleaner and quieter. Much smarter intelligent control systems.
And power. Batteries must be crucial.
Hugely important. Yeah, advances in high energy density batteries are key for getting decent range and flight times. And then there's the whole air traffic control side. You need really intelligent systems to manage potentially thousands of these things flying around cities safely.
AI and big data involved there, I assume. Absolutely. AI, big data analysis, essential for making that work efficiently and safely.
It sounds like a whole new industrial ecosystem is just popping up around that.
Exactly right. You've got the whole chain upstream. There's the R&D, the manufacturing of the actual aircraft. Midstream, you have the flight services, the companies operating them, the management platforms. And downstream, all the different ways they'll be used.
And support industries, too.
Yeah, absolutely critical. Things like insurance, who insures an autonomous flying taxi, specialized training programs, maintenance services, all that infrastructure needs to grow alongside the core tech.
Okay, let's zoom in on the tech itself again, the EHang EH216-S. What more can you tell us about that specific machine?
Right, the EH216-S, it was actually unveiled back in 2018, so it's been in development for a while.
Right.
It's fully electric Zetil, as we said. The body, the fuselage, is carbon fiber, keeps it light but strong.
And how does it fly? Propellers.
Yeah, it uses what's called distributed electric propulsion. It has 16 propellers, and each one has its own electric motor.
16. Okay. How big is it?
Physically, it's roughly comparable to, say, a large SUV. Stands about 17 and a half feet tall, maybe 18 feet wide.
And performance? How fast? How high? How far?
Cruise speed is around 62 miles per hour. Max speed is designed for about 80 miles per hour or 130 kilometers per hour. It can apparently go up to 10,000 feet, though typical operations would likely be lower. And the range is currently over 20 miles on a charge.
20 miles. Okay, so more for city hops than long distance.
Exactly. Designed for urban air mobility. And crucially, it carries 2 passengers and it's fully autonomous. No pilot needed on board.
16 propellers.
Yeah.
Autonomous.
Yeah.
It feels so cutting edge.
But, you know, the idea of a flying car isn't brand new, is it? People have tried this before.
Oh, absolutely not new. The dream goes way back, over a century. You had Glenn Curtis's autoplane in 1917. It kind of hopped, but wasn't really practical. Then later, more serious attempts like Waldo Waterman's Aerobile in 1937. And the Taylor Aero car in 1949 was probably the most successful early one.
Did any of those actually work? Some did. The Aero car achieved limited production, and remarkably, a couple are apparently still airworthy today.
Amazing. So what's the big difference then between those early pioneers and these modern eVTOLs, like the EH216-S? Why is it maybe happening for real this time?
It really comes down to massive leaps in the core technologies. Electric propulsion is a huge one, much cleaner, quieter, and potentially simpler mechanically than the old combustion engines.
Materials too?
Yeah, advanced composite materials like the carbon fiber and the EHang, much better strength for the weight. And then the absolute game changer, the autonomous control systems, the sensors, the software, that's a whole different world from what they had back then.
So the EH216-S didn't just appear out of nowhere.
No, no, it builds on previous work. EHang themselves had an earlier model, the EHang 184, introduced back in 2016. You can see the evolution.
Right. Now let's talk safety again, autonomous passenger flight. That's a big psychological leap for people, I imagine. What about the certification for the EH216-S? How rigorous was that?
Safety has obviously been absolutely central. EHang first applied for that SEEK certification way back in December 2020, so it was a multi-year process.
Okay.
They got the type certificate that basically approves the aircraft's design on October 13th, 2023. Then the standard airworthiness certificate, which says this specific aircraft is safe to fly, came on December 21st, 2023.
And then they started flying them.
Pretty much straight away. Just a week later, December 28th, they did their first commercial flight demonstrations in Guangzhou and Hefei.
And testing. Have they done much?
EHang claims they've done extensive testing, thousands of flights, both with people on board, presumably test pilots or engineers initially and completely uncrewed, to prove the system's reliability and safety.
It really is quite something to see it go from concept to certified reality like that. Okay, let's pull back to the Seven Colonies universe again for a minute. The author's blog material, you said, paints this picture where flying cars are just like part of life for the Evo in every colony.
Yeah, that was the initial vision, that these autonomous flying cars, maybe running on some kind of readily available ambient energy in that universe, were just the standard way for Evo to get around.
And there was even a mention of a black market.
Right, yeah, a sort of underground network using these flying vehicles for mutant transportation.
What?
Adds a bit of grit to the futuristic setting.
But as we talked about earlier, that initial idea of them being commonplace, it changed. The author decided they'd be a luxury instead.
Exactly. The blog material explains that realization, the sheer cost and complexity of managing airspace, would mean you'd have to buy the right to fly personally. And that cost would push them out of reach for the average Evo.
Making them a status symbol again.
Right, reinforcing those social divides within the colonies. And it's fascinating because this fictional outcome seems to echo the potential real-world issues we're seeing now, doesn't it? The high initial costs of this tech.
So the story's portrayal of flying cars being mainly for the wealthy Evo, it mirrors the real challenges companies like EHang face in making these affordable and accessible for everyone.
I think that's a fair parallel, yeah. The regulatory hurdles, the huge investment needed just to get certified and start production in our world. It creates economic pressures that line up surprisingly well with the fictional reasons for exclusivity in the Seven Colonies.
It's a really interesting blend of you know, far out fiction and very near future reality. So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, what are the main things you think people should take away today?
Well, I think firstly, this flying car tech, it's not just dreams anymore. It's advancing incredibly quickly. We're seeing real hardware, real certifications, especially out of China, with companies like EHang leading the charge on autonomous passenger flight. That's happening now.
Okay, point one, it's real and moving fast.
Yeah. And secondly, the way flying cars are used in the Seven Colonies universe, evolving from a common tool to this symbol of wealth because of imagined costs and logistics, it's a really interesting reflection. It highlights potential real-world challenges around affordability and access that we might face as this tech rolls out.
So the fiction kind of predicts a potential social outcome of the real tech.
In a way, yes. It serves as a sort of thought experiment.
Right. So as we stand here watching these actual flying cars start to become a reality, it really does make you think, doesn't it? It poses a pretty big question for us as a society globally.
Oh, it is.
Well, how do we try and prevent that fictional scenario? You know, the one where only the rich get to fly above the traffic. What steps could we or should we consider taking to make sure this genuinely transformative technology actually benefits a much wider slice of the population? How do we stop it from just becoming another way to divide people?
That's the multi-trillion yuan question, isn't it?
It really is. Definitely something crucial to keep pondering as we watch these skies start to fill up.